and with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, for you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Last week we celebrated Pentecost, and I was not here, but I saw that there were red tongues. The tongues, representing the tongues of the Holy Spirit, that allowed the apostles to speak in tongues precisely. The first reading last weekend was from the Acts of the Apostles, which is commonly known as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. In our four Gospels, we constantly hear Jesus did this, Jesus went here, there, everywhere with his disciples. But in the Acts of the Apostles, we hear the Holy Spirit did this, the Holy Spirit did that. And last week, we heard of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And in Jerusalem, there were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Rome, Crete, and Thrace. That's 15 different communities, 15 different places, and yet under the Holy Spirit, they became one single community, all of them understanding a single language, the language of the Holy Spirit, who spoke to them according to their own. And today we celebrate the Most Holy Trinity, the community of three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it makes sense that we celebrate the community of the Trinity only after that by which we are made a single community has been poured out, the Holy Spirit. There is a logical procession in these two celebrations. First, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, by whom these 15 different communities were made one single community. And then we celebrate the Trinity, with whom we can now relate through the Holy Spirit and enter into their own divine community, the Trinity. And once again, today, at the center of our gospel is the Holy Spirit, who last week revealed God's desire so clearly that all would be one under the Holy Spirit. In our gospel, the Holy Spirit is described as a witness to Jesus. He will speak what he hears. He will glorify me. He will take from what is mine and declare it to you. A witness of Jesus leading his disciples in the world to all truth, to those things that, as Jesus puts it, they can't bear at that moment. One of those truths, as some saints put it, was their future death. If the disciples could not bear the knowledge of Christ's future crucifixion, let alone the knowledge of their own imminent death, it was only with the strength of the Holy Spirit that they were able to bear that truth, the truth of their martyrdom. And it was only with the Holy Spirit that somebody like St. Paul could say, we even boast of our affliction, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given us. I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. Another one of these truths that are often hard to bear is what St. Paul says. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts. Sometimes that's a truth that is hard to bear, that the love of God is in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been poured out. The Holy Spirit was given to us at our baptism, and since then he has been trying to convict us of one truth, our filial adoption, that the love of God truly does reside in us in our hearts. Sometimes we can't bear this truth, like I said, for many reasons, but perhaps the main one is because we often feel unworthy to be sons and daughters of God. Sometimes it's even hard to say, to acknowledge that reality about feeling unworthy. The psalmist expresses a similar feeling in the line, "What is man that you should be mindful of him?" The psalmist is contemplating the heavens, the moon, and the stars, these celestial bodies in the sky. And then he asks himself, "What is man that you should keep him in mind? Such a small thing compared to the moon, the stars. What is man that you should keep him in mind?" Job in the Old Testament compares man to a worm. Man is a worm, he said. And so the author of the psalm asks himself, what is man that you should keep him in mind? With that mind, he's really expressing the love of God, the love that God has for man. So much so that God knows exactly where man is, has him in mind, and cares for him. And this is what we know as divine providence, that God has us in mind and holds our existence with a single thought. That is divine providence. What is man that you should keep him in mind? The relevant question for us is, who am I that you should keep me in mind? That is the truth that the Holy Spirit is constantly trying to convict us of. You are in God's mind. You are a beloved son. Our first reading said, wisdom of God delights in you, delighted in being with men. That is the truth that the Holy Spirit is trying to convict us of, that God delights in you. Who am I that you should keep me in mind? Really ask the Holy Spirit, the love of God in your hearts, to convict you of who you are to God and of the fact that you are in his mind, that he keeps you in his mind. In this, also ask for the intercession of Saint Joseph, who probably asked himself the same question, who am I? When he learned that Mary had conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, he tried to divorce her in secret, probably not because he doubted that she had conceived by the grace of the Holy Spirit, but rather because he asked himself, who am I to be part of this great mystery? Who am I? Let the Holy Spirit convict you of that truth, that you are a beloved son, that you are a very good creation, as Genesis puts it, and that God delights in being with you. God delights being with you.